Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our two guests this week are both members of the Pro Ecclesia Sancta Order, founded in 1992 by a Spanish Jesuit priest, who dedicate themselves to living and promoting the universal call to holiness in the church through the spirituality of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. She entered the order in 2014, and he entered the order in 2021. Their names? Sister Laura Halepchinsky and Brother Adrian Semeniego, and we're honored to have them as our guest. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Sister Laura Halepchinsky and Brother Adrian Semeniego.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you for having us.
What if we start, Brother, with you leading us in an opening prayer, please?
Of course. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Sacred Heart of Jesus, we give you thanks for this opportunity to be together and to share your spirituality, your love, and the legacy of Father Menor with Jack and with all our listeners on WJR. We pray that you speak through us and inspire anyone listening to respond to any call you may place in their hearts and to be always more generous to you and to serve your kingdom. We pray all this through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thank you, Brother.
Of course, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're talking to Sister Laura Halepchinsky. Sister, let's talk about your mom and your dad and your childhood growing up in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yes, thank you for having us, Jack. Great to be here. I grew up, like Jack mentioned, in St. Paul, Minnesota, with four other siblings in a Catholic home. Very blessed to go to Catholic school my whole life as well there in St. Paul, Minnesota. And yeah, very blessed to have a good family. My parents worked hard for us and brought us always closer to God by their example of service and by their joyfulness. And great blessing to grow up with those foundations of faith, so important.
You earned a BA in education from St. Mary's University. And then from 2010 to 2012, you were a missionary with NET Ministries. Please.
Yes, well, those were very important and blessed years for me that God used to increase in my heart a desire to be close to Him and to serve His people. In college, I was able to grow closer to the Lord through retreats and Bible studies, and through the example of other people who I met, I was attracted to following Jesus more closely and to discovering the love of His heart in a deeper way, which moved me to also give 2 years to grow deeper in my spiritual life through this missionary program and travel throughout the country, putting on retreats for middle schoolers and high schoolers. And that helped me a lot to grow in a heart of service and know how to live in community and to share the gospel with others.
Okay, speaking of living in community, in 2014, you decide to become a nun, and specifically the Order of Pro Ecclesia Sancta. Why was it just decided, I want to be a nun, and why that order?
Well, I think really it's a call from God that I never would have imagined on my own or decided on my own, but I'd really experienced this call from God from that foundation of a spiritual life that I had from those previous years. I grew in my prayer life and my sacramental life and had a real desire to be very close to Jesus. And the Order of Pro Ecclesia Sancta, as you mentioned earlier, is from Peru. So I would never have heard about it on my own, of course. But after returning home, I thought, how am I going to keep growing closer to Jesus without this environment that I had at my school? And that summer, the first members of Pro Ecclesia Sancta from Peru were sent to my home parish in St. Paul.
All right, speaking of being closer to Jesus, anybody that meets you, sister, is wowed by your smile. It radiates. You have an inner peace that just radiates. How do we get that?
Well, it comes from Jesus. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us when we're seeking to be close to him and faithful to him. And the call that each one of us has to grow in holiness, which means living the commandments, the greatest commandment to love God above all and to love each other as Jesus loved us. And the fruit of that is to have a heart like Jesus, which is a heart of peace and a heart of joy. And knowing that we're loved by God as we are and that he calls us to have a heart like his, that causes joy and peace.
All right, speaking of loving Jesus, sister, you're married to Jesus. What's it like being married to Jesus?
It's a great mystery, Jack, and a great honor and very humbling because, of course, of all the people, who could be married to Jesus, you know? But he's very merciful and patient. It's an honor, and every day I know that I am unworthy, but he gives courage to respond to that love because he loves me first. As he loves each of us first, that love from him gives us the courage to love him back. So it's a life of joy, and any difficulty that will come, because any vocation has difficulty, he blesses us and gives me grace to respond dependent on his grace.
We've been speaking to Sister Laura Halepchinsky. We also have with us today Brother Adrian Samaniego. Brother, let's talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Of course. Thanks, Jack. Well, both of my parents are from Lima, Peru, but they got married during a time when there was a lot of terrorism in Lima, so they actually had the opportunity to move to the United States, and they moved the day immediately after they got married and they settled in Connecticut, which is where my brothers and I grew up. I'm the youngest of three, and I had a great childhood in Connecticut. Connecticut is a great place. I lived in a small town, went to a good school, and my family taught me the good family values, like unconditional love, hard work, self-sacrifice, all these things that I'm very glad to be able to carry with me today.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Mom? What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
From Mom, I would say unconditional love. She was always there, no matter what. She was always there for me, no matter how long her day was at work, no matter how much she had to work at home. She was always there, just always there. And same with my dad. My dad taught me the basic life skills just to be tough and confident, and to be he taught me how to be a good man, how to respect women, and how to love. And ultimately, these are values that I carry with me even now as a religious.
Which you became in 2021. When we come back, we're going to ask Brother about why it decided to join the order. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're talking to Brother Adrian Samaniego. Brother, you studied finance in Peru, but then you decided in 2021 to join the Pro Ecclesia Sancta Order. Why?
Absolutely. Well, God called. Ultimately, that's the final answer to any vocation. It's very beautiful to see how, you know, God speaks in silence to the heart. He doesn't come down on a big cloud and announce with writing in the sky, "I'm calling you." No, but rather he speaks to the heart in silence, especially in adoration. That's how it was for me, and that's how it's been for at least 99% of all the vocation stories I've heard, just to not say 100. When we develop the spiritual life and we learn to tune our ears to the voice of God in silence, it's amazing how he speaks, and that's how it was for me. He spoke to me on a mission trip in the mountain range in Peru. We were having adoration at the end of a long day of work, and that's when he planted the idea in my heart and told me he wanted me. And of course, I struggled a bit, like many other vocations, because I was, like you said, I was studying finance. I loved studying finance. I was very happy with what I was doing. I felt like I had a good spiritual life. Maybe like I didn't need to do more. But it was amazing to see how little by little the Lord molded my heart, and he allowed me to accept that call. I remember when I first heard the call, my prayer would be, oh Lord, I don't want this, but if you want this, fine, I'll do it.
The Pro Ecclesia Sancta Order, that's Latin for the Holy Church. And it was founded in 1992 by Father Pablo Menor, a Spanish Jesuit priest. Brother, tell us about the founder.
Of course. Father Menor, he was originally born in Spain in 1899, and he entered the Society of Jesus at a young age. And even from a young age, it's amazing to see how he developed a prayer life, which is the first part of his legacy that we inherit from him. From a young age, he started praying a half an hour a day, and towards the end of his life, his prayer life had reached 5 hours a day. And even as part of this order, part of our spiritual life is to separate 2 hours of our day to prayer. And I believe that's why, as you asked Sister Laura earlier, that's why we're able to radiate this joy and peace. It's because we're nurtured first in our prayer life. Father Menor was a member of the Society of Jesus till the day he died. It's also amazing to see how all his efforts to begin Pro Ecclesia Sancta were blessed by obedience from his Jesuit superiors. He understood that his call was to be a Jesuit, and he carried this with him till he died.
I quote Father Menor now, "The ideal goal and guiding star of our spirituality is our call to holiness, great holiness, growing and uninterrupted holiness." Sister, that's pretty high bar. How do you try to live that each day?
Well, another thing that Father Menor says is that if God has called us to something, he will give us what he promised. So growing in holiness takes dependence on God, knowing that if he asks us to be holy, if he commands us to be holy, he will give us what we need. And that it comes from a relationship of love, from living our spiritual life with seriousness, receiving his love, and knowing that we can't do it all. We can't be holy without him, but he has given us the sacred heart of Jesus as a model of holiness. If holiness is doing God's will with joy, Jesus, the sacred heart of Jesus, he's the perfect model of that. He loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. He loved the Father that way. He gave his life for us, and he gives us the grace through the sacraments, through our life of prayer, to live that same holiness. But no, we can't do it by ourselves. It's impossible. But it's true. With God, anything is possible. And we all are in that daily battle, whether you're religious, whether you're a lay person, anyone, everyone is called to holiness, and he makes it possible for us.
We're talking to Sister Laura Holopchinsky. The Pro Ecclesia Sancta Order has great devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Tell us about the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Well, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, of course, it comes from Scripture. That's where we find Jesus, the Word made flesh, so God coming to us as a human with a beating heart in the Incarnation, so we can experience this love of God that's tangible, a heart that's real, that's beating for us, that on the cross was pierced and emptied, blood and water flow from his heart, which we see that as the Eucharist and baptism. And of course, that heart is still alive today. Jesus rose from the dead. His heart is still beating, is present in the Eucharist. So it's that center of God's love. And many popes have spoken about the power of the spirituality, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the necessity we all have to be close to him. And there it's the sum of all Christian life, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that's something that we have inherited from our founder, Father Menor. He was very, very close to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And he always, at every opportunity, spoke about him, would even sometimes cry when he said the name of Jesus, because he received this gift from the Holy Spirit to know the heart of Jesus so closely. And so that's who we are. We seek to help other people know the love of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, that merciful love, and that call that he gives us to be holy, to do what he's asking us to do, whatever state of life we're in, with joy, in union with his own heart.
Your order consists today of 180 priests, brothers, and nuns. 50 are in the States. When we come back, we're going to talk about where the ministries are in the United States. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Krasula. We're with Brother Adrian, Sister Laura, and also Carol Mansfield, the famous Carol Mansfield. So the Pro Ecclesia Sancta Order has ministries in Minneapolis, Sacramento, California, Mitchell, South Dakota, and here in Detroit. Let's go back to November 2018. And a Father Humberto comes to Detroit. And somehow he's connected to Clark Durant, the founder of Cornerstone Schools. The rest is history. By the way, Father Humberto is now the General Superior of the whole order. But Father Humberto asked Clark to come to Lima, Peru. Clark was too busy, so he asked Carol Mansfield, Carol, you go there for me. Carol, what happened?
Well, thank you, Jack. It's great to be with you and Sister Laura and Brother Nicholas. Clark invited me to go as his representative since he could not be there. He wanted to, but other things kept him from going. So I went, and I went with Father Humberto. I met him at the airport in Atlanta. He didn't know me, and I didn't know him, with two other colleagues from Detroit. And from there, we went on to Lima, and we met up with Father Marco, who now is in Detroit at St. Scholastica. So we visited many different areas in Peru, including the city, the area outside the city where there was barely any electricity or running water, and to other areas in the country. And what I saw changed my life. It's what you talked about, Jack, that, you know, if you meet Sister Laura, you see this joy
and this peace.
And that's what I saw everywhere I went, no matter where they served. If it was in a parish, in a city, or if it was in an area that was extreme poverty, it was joy, joy, joy. And it captured my heart. And I wanted to have that same thing. So I'm thinking I'm going to discover what they're doing and seeing what that could mean to us in Detroit. But God had an even bigger purpose for that, because He wanted to touch my heart, and He did. And I wanted to grow in holiness and become a saint. And I'm very grateful that I had that opportunity to go.
Carol, anybody that's worked with Clark Durant for 30 plus years is a saint. That's okay, Clark. That's okay. Brother Adrian, you now have four ministries here in the Detroit area. Two parishes, St. Isaac Jogues in Clarence Air Shores, St. Isaac Jogues in St. Clair Shores, and St. Scholastica in Northwest Detroit. Talk about those two ministries first.
Of course. Well, first, when we first moved here in 2023, the Archdiocese asked us to be in charge first of St. Isaac Jogues. So that was our first parish. We've been there since July of 2023. And it's been a beautiful ministry. There's a great community, a beautiful school with wonderful kids, and it's been great to see that community grow over the past 2 years. Father Joe, who is a member of our community, is in charge of that parish. Then in January of this year, so still pretty recent, the Archbishop asked us to also be in charge of St. Scholastica and Presentation Our Lady of Victory parishes in Detroit, which is a lot closer to our ministry in the city. So it's been great to have that apostolate and to see that community grow as well over the past few months. And we also see a lot of potential in that community.
All right, Sister, the other two ministries, Cornerstone Schools and Notre Dame de Detroit. Let's talk about Cornerstone Schools first. What is it?
Well, Cornerstone Schools, there's a network of six schools in the Detroit area, and they're charter schools with this mission of helping the students grow in this complete life, which is a vision from Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which means to live with length, breadth, and height, meaning length to live for a purpose born, breadth to be a person for others, and height to know God. And so our role in these schools is to support that mission, the mission of helping the students, the families, the staff to live this complete life.
Founded by Clark Durant because of Cardinal Adam Mida. When he came in 1990, to Detroit, he gave a talk at the Economic Club about a new idea, a school that would be the cornerstone of the rebirth of Detroit. That's all Clark needed to hear. The rest is history. So, brother, specifically, you're at Precious Blood Campus. Tell us about that campus.
Of course. It's a beautiful campus with a beautiful church. It used to be the second largest parish in the whole archdiocese. As a parish, it's been closed for quite some time now, but now it's owned by the Cornerstone Group. So we live there, and right across the street from the rectory is Lincoln King High School, which is the only Cornerstone High School, which is a great campus with several students, hundreds. So part of our vision at that campus is to precisely form a community around there, since we have the rectory where we live, the school right across the street, the church right next to the rectory. And again, this is a beautiful church, and it could be a sign of rebirth for the city.
All right. It's actually at 13436 Grove Street. That's near McNichols and Schaefer. How many of you are there in the rectory?
Well, I live there myself with one other priest and brother, and from there we're able to do our ministry with the Cornerstone Schools and also with St. Scholastica Parish, which is very close by.
Okay, sister, another ministry, the newest initiative, is Notre Dame de Detroit.
So the vision that we have here, the vision of Notre Dame de Detroit, started by local Catholic leaders, the vision is to support the schools with giving opportunities to grow closer to Jesus and building a community around the schools that can continue helping the family, students, and staff grow in this complete life. Because we cannot give what we don't have, the people that we want to also build around these schools also to be close to Jesus and to live a Eucharistic life. So the vision that this group is to be able to serve the Cornerstone schools with a heart like Jesus. So a Catholic community around the schools able to support the mission of the schools. That's kind of the vision. That's what's being started here. And we're very excited to see where the Lord takes it.
If you want to learn more, NotreDameDetroit.org. NotreDameDetroit.org. There's actually a prayer, sister, if you would.
The prayer for Notre Dame de Detroit. Sacred Heart of Jesus, the strength and tenderness of your love impels us to love one another as you have loved us. Bless our efforts at Notre Dame de Detroit to make your presence known through the works of mercy. From your Eucharistic heart, may a culture of love extend to the neighborhoods and schools to help rebuild our city. Send men and women on fire for you. May they bring your mercy and compassion to the families whom you call us to serve. Thank you for this gift as together we journey home to you. Blessed Mother, help us to be faithful and courageous disciples of your Son. With childlike confidence, we entrust ourselves to your care. Amen.
www.NotreDameDetroit.org. And we're with Sister Laura Halupchinski, Brother Adrian Samaniego, and I'm Jack Rasula. And this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything is Possible, and I'm Jack Crisula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble.
The great Ernie Harwell.
My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God.
And the voices of our generation.
I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis.
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan.
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Mazzulla. This is Anything is Possible. We're talking to Brother Adrian Samaniego and Sister Laura Holopchinsky. Brother, you work with Cornerstone kids every day. Talk to us about two of them.
Of course. A couple of stories come to mind, one from when we first moved to Detroit. On the Grove Street property, which we just mentioned, there's a outdoor basketball court right towards the end. And one day I went out to shoot some hoops and get my workout in, and along come a couple of the school kids asking if they can play. So of course I say yes, and we start playing together. Now, just like we do when we meet a new kid, we start asking the usual questions, you know, what's your name? How old are you? The next question I asked was, how many siblings do you have? Now, just being new to the city, I was expecting an answer like 2, 3, 4. You know, I was expecting a number. But instead, the answer I got was, well, on my mother's side, I have this many, and on my father's side, this many. And then I kept going. I asked, okay, and which one do you live with? And the answer was neither. So that was my first insight as to how the family structure here in the city has suffered a great blow. It's been greatly deteriorated. And unfortunately, that's been confirmed time and time again with several of the students. So we definitely see the restructuring of the family and the return to family values as part of our mission here. Like it says in the Spirit of Detroit, if you go downtown to the Spirit of Detroit statue, the inscription reads about the value of a family. In fact, it specifies family as being formed by a father, mother, and child. And it even talks about how that's a great expression of God's love. So that's first. And then on a more hopeful note, just a couple of weeks ago, one of the high schoolers I mentored who graduated invited me to his high school graduation party, which I was able to attend. And it was beautiful to see how he does come from a family. He has a great father, a great mother that have supported him throughout his whole life. So it was great to see how he did have that. And you can tell, because it's night and day. You can really tell with a kid when he has these family values and when he doesn't. So it's part of our mission to instill that in all of our kids so that they can all grow closer to Christ through their families.
Sister, you primarily teach second and third graders to read. Can you talk about two students?
Of course. One comes to mind, a very joyful little second grader. One day he didn't come, so I asked him the next day, you know, if he was okay, if we missed him the day before, and he told me that his family had to make a decision the day before because his mom didn't have enough gas in her car, and so they had to decide whether to take his brother to the dentist or take him to school, and they chose to take the brother to the dentist. And that helped me realize, yeah, the reality that many of these students live with every day and the sacrifices the parents have to decide between when it comes to their child's education. But this student, he loves when he comes. He really loves to learn and pushes himself and very joyful spirits. That would be one example. And I would say, well, you know, our service to the schools is a lot about building relationships, building trust, so that then we're able to encourage all the students to grow to their full potential, to live with excellence. And at the beginning, well, we wear our habits, the sisters and I, to the school. And so many of the students have never seen a sister except in movies. Some of them not very positive depictions of sisters. So many times we walk into the classroom and they're very afraid of us. But because our focus is to build trust, and to get to know the students, to listen to them, to get to know them, to have fun with them. Then little by little, some of these same students who used to be afraid, now they're telling their friends, it's okay, these sisters are normal and they're nice. And then they invite them to the clubs we have after school. So it's great to see the transformation and the power of building relationships and trust and just showing the students that they're loved. That's what we do there.
I have a confession to make, sister. When I was a student, I was not afraid of nuns. I was terrorized by nuns. But the good that the nuns did, boy, there'd be 25 of us in a class. There was no such thing as ADD. And that nun, the job they did teaching all of us was unbelievable through the decades. All right, Brother Adrian, what's the biggest thing the Cornerstone students have taught you these past few years?
I think just the great need for the love of God and how that's present anywhere you go. Wherever you go, that's a common thing we see, and each city, each place we go to do ministry has its own challenges. But at the same time, I've learned that, you know, God is great and He works in all these places, in all these kids, and through us, He's able to reach them.
Sister, biggest thing you've learned from the kids?
The power of the simple things, that simple things can bring us great joy, and that everyone just wants to be loved and to be told that they can do great things. And sometimes it takes just a little motivation and confidence in them, and it takes them a long way.
All right, speaking of doing great things, brother, if there's a listener tonight that says, I want to help, what can he or she do?
Well, absolutely. Well, first and foremost, of course, please pray for us. We have a great mission ahead of us, which is just getting started. We've only been here for a couple of years, and it's amazing to see how we already have some fruit. So please pray that we continue growing and receive all the help we need. And if you feel called to help us, I would first point you towards our websites. First, as Jack mentioned, there's NotreDameDetroit.org. There you'll be able to find a Contact Us button, and you can get in touch with us. And then also you can go to the website of Proeclesia Sancta, pes-usa.org. There you can learn even more about our order. At the bottom, there's also an email where you can get in touch with us, info@pes-usa.org. So please do get in touch with us. Like the gospel says, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So we need more laborers, we need more hands, and we need more help. So if you feel inspired to help us, please do reach out, and we would love to have you as part of our family.
PES-USA.org. Sister, a lot of non-Catholic friends who are Christ-centered have asked me, Jack, the Catholics revere the Blessed Virgin Mother Mary. Jack, why? Sister, why?
First of all, I think because Jesus revered his mother. He respected her. He loved her. He served her. He obeyed her. And so we follow Jesus' example. And she's also such a great example of loving Jesus. We want to know how to love Jesus. We look to his mother, how she cared for him, how she obeyed him, how she even imitated her son and was receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit in her heart so much that she could become the mother of Jesus. And through great difficulties, of course, still having great, unshakable faith and trust in God. So we revere Mary because Jesus revered Mary and because we want to imitate her example of love for Jesus.
It's obvious, sister, you've surrendered to Jesus. You see it in your face. The inner peace radiates. A listener says, sister, I can't surrender to Jesus. I can't let go.
I think what has helped me the most to little by little every day, because it's an everyday surrender that I'm still learning to do, to focus on Jesus, on who he is, how good he is, that he's worth our surrender. He's worth everything. He's really, if you want to be smart about it, the only place worthy of everything, the only person worthy of all our surrender, because he loves us, and we know that because he gave his life for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we don't have to be perfect to love him, but like Mother Teresa says, loving him will make us holy. And so We have to get to know Jesus more through scripture, through prayer, through little acts of trust, and he will give us the grace to give everything to him because he gave everything for us. He entrusted himself to us, and we can do the same to him, and there we will find our true joy and peace.
Brother Adrian, you mentioned in a previous segment that you're in contemplative prayer or silent retreat 2 hours a day. How?
Well, it's a great blessing. Honestly, I don't know how we could do what we do without it. When we go out into the world to spread the love of Christ, it's something that we can't give if we don't have it ourselves. So our time of prayer and our time in community and our Eucharist every day, that's how we're nourished ourselves first, so that then we're able to take the love of God to everyone else we meet in our ministries. In fact, our founder, he left us with a legacy called his 7 basic points, which are exactly what the name says. And the first of these basic points is, of course, to live a spirit of prayer.
As our time winds down, sister, would you lead us in a closing prayer?
Of course, Jack. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Sacred Heart of Jesus, thank you for loving us, for letting your heart show us the love of the Father, his mercy, his goodness. We pray that each one of us may have the grace to behold and contemplate your heart and there find the love of God our Father. We pray that each person who is listening may experience the personal and infinite, unconditional love of God, that they may also hear that call to holiness, that call to do your will with joy, to love with the love of your heart, and so make your love known to everyone around them. We pray that you bless each one of us, for us to be able to be faithful to all that you ask of us, to live with great gratitude in our hearts for all you've given us, and to return with generosity those same gifts for the glory of your Sacred Heart. We ask also our mother to be with us, to pray for us to be our model. In your name we pray, amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And Lord, be with Sister Laura, Brother Adrian, and the Notre Dame Detroit.org ministry. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Crisula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God,
anything is possible.
Is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.